welcome you for this opportunity
to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm mindful of that passage in Matthew when the ladies had gone to the tomb to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. And the angel was actually sitting upon the stone, the Bible says, that he had rolled away. And we find that he said to the ladies, "He is not here, he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." And we as Christians have as our blessed hope then the great truth that Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen, and he is risen, as he said. And today, we're so thankful that you have tuned in for this service. And I trust that if you're watching for the first time, that you would just put in the comment section there that you are new. And we're so thankful that you're tuning in. And those of you that have been tuning in for all of our services, go ahead and like and share this page as well today and be an encouragement to someone else in their time of need. We do want to sing today, "He Lives, He Lives, Christ Jesus Lives Today." And if you know the words, sing along with us, and we want to sing that right for you right now. Would you pray with me at this time? Father, we thank you today so much for the fact that you raised your son Jesus from the dead. Thank you that he is not in that tomb, but he is very much alive. And how that your word tells us that he was seen above 500 witnesses. And then how the disciples were able to see the Lord Jesus Christ ascend back into heaven. And how they were able to cling to that great promise that if I go, I will come again. And we thank you that Jesus taught us, because I live, you shall live also. So help us throughout this service to just appreciate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it means to us and why it makes a difference and why it is important in our life. May you meet us at our point of need today. And we do come to you as well and mindful of our country. We would ask for not only physical healing, but we would ask as well for a spiritual healing through this time, that people will turn their hearts and their eyes, if you would, toward you and draw near to you during this time. We ask for your, again, guidance and direction upon our president and the members of the task force and the doctors and the nurses and all that are involved in caring for people all across our country, that you would give them protection and wisdom and comfort as well. So we thank you again today that Jesus is alive, and we just celebrate that great truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm so delighted this morning to have ladies of our church here to sing today, and they're going to sing a song to you entitled, He's Not Here. Amen. And Jesus Christ is not here. He is very much alive. And we praise God for that this morning. And that is, again, a foundational truth to Christianity. It's important, yes, that Jesus died and that he shed his blood, but it was also equally as important that Jesus Christ rose again. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn to John chapter 20, John chapter 20, and we'll be looking this morning at verse 19 through verse number 31. John chapter 20, verse 19 through verse number 31. While you're turning there, let me ask you a question. Have you ever asked yourself, what difference does it make? What difference does it make if I work hard and no one appreciates it? What difference does it make if I help someone in need? What difference does it make? Well, I think we can apply that same type of question to this topic this morning. What difference does the resurrection of Jesus Christ make? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it speaks to us that if Christ had not risen, our faith is in vain, we would be yet in our sins. And so the Bible teaches us that the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes a huge difference to our faith. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ can make a big difference in your life. And so would you notice with me, beginning at verse number 19 of this passage in John chapter 20, that we see that there was one thing the resurrection did not change, and that was Jesus. Now think about this for a moment. Yes, now he's in his resurrected body. He can show his disciples that he has the print of the nails in his hands and in his feet. He can even show them where the spear was thrust through his side. He could show them, if you would, those places or those scars. And so in that sense, yes, Jesus' body was changed, but Jesus as a person did not change. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And here in this context, we see that the disciples are assembled together. They're fearful of the Jews. And so Jesus comes to them and just speaks words of peace unto them. He shows them, as the Bible says there, his hands and his side. The disciples at that point were glad. They were happy that they had seen the risen Lord. Because you got to remember, to them, all hope was gone when Jesus died. We find in John chapter 21 that Peter had said, you know, I'm going to go back to my nets. I'm going to go back to fishing, because to him it was over. Jesus Christ is dead. He's gone. And even though he saw where he was buried, he had lost all hope. And those disciples had forgotten the words of the Lord Jesus that he would rise again. And so in the context, we find that it did not change the actions of the Lord Jesus. He came to his disciples when they were fearful, which he had done that before the resurrection. But now after the resurrection, guess what? Jesus Christ is still doing the same thing. He is still reaching out to people, and he's still reaching out to people today. He's still reaching out to you. And we find in verse number 19 through verse number 21 that it did not change his words. Notice now, if you would, in verse number 21, where Jesus said to them, Peace be unto you. Now, these were words that Jesus had spoken to his disciples before his crucifixion, before his resurrection. And so now after the resurrection, Jesus is speaking the same words. He is speaking words of peace. But here's what he said to them even before his crucifixion. He said, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In that context, Jesus was offering them peace. And notice the kind of peace and how it is different. He says that not as the world giveth. Recently, our president and his administration, and they had been working on this for at least a couple of years, maybe even from when he first got into the office, and he's not the first president to do this. Several presidents have tried to present a peace plan to Israel and to the Palestinians. Well, recently they presented a plan, and don't know where that's going to end up. But yet, as I said, not only President Trump, but past presidents have tried this very thing to try to get peace in that region. And that's very noble. But that is a peace that the world gives. That peace is not lasting. That peace will just pass away, if you would. But the peace that the Lord gives is a lasting peace. It is a peace that will endure. And he says it is a peace that will calm your heart. It is a peace that will cause you not to be afraid and not to be troubled. And so it did not change his actions. It did not change his words. He still speaks words of peace today. And it may be that you are in need of peace in your own heart and life. And you can find that peace in the Lord Jesus. So it did not change his words. And then it did not change his purpose. Because he said in the rest of verse 21, As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. We find that the purpose now is very clear for the disciples. He had taught them in Mark's gospel, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that is still the task of every Christian today, to preach the gospel. The purpose has not changed. As the Father sent his Son into this world, so we have been sent to go out into the world. And so there was one thing the resurrection did not change. It did not change Jesus, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. But then notice, if you would, in verse 24 through verse number 28, there is one thing that the resurrection did change. And that is the lives of those who heard and believed. Look at this with me, if you would, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Maybe you can identify with Thomas. Maybe you're one of those doubting individuals. "I won't believe unless I see." Well, that's how he was. Verse 26, "And after 8 days again his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said," notice this, he says it again, "Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God." So it definitely had changed the life of Thomas. There were many before the resurrection, men and women who were lost in their sins. They were without hope. They were without the hope of eternal life. And yet after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there were many that had come to believe. You can read as you go into the next book, in the book of Acts, you will see that as Jesus ascended back into heaven as the risen Lord, then these disciples took Christ's word into their hearts and their minds, and they went forth and they were preaching the gospel. When Peter stood before a great crowd of people, 3,000 people had gotten saved and baptized the same day. And then that early church of Jerusalem went from 3,000 all the way up to 20,000 plus people. What I'm saying to you is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ changed lives then and continues to change lives now. I think about a man who wrote a song that even America will sing from time to time. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." That man's name was John Newton, and his epitaph reads this way: "John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy." Then he could pen, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it changed the disciples, it changed many in that early church life, and he still changes lives today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ makes a difference. And so we see in verse number 29 through verse number 31 that there is one thing that the resurrection can still change. Hear me carefully. You and me, if we believe. Look now at verse 29. Now Jesus is responding to Thomas, and he says this: "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." That's me. That's you. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you haven't seen Jesus, but through the eye of Scripture that somebody shared with you, you believed, you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then the Bible goes on and says in verse 30, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." Now look at verse 31. "But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." So the resurrection of Jesus Christ, why does it matter? What difference does it make? It makes a huge difference. You see, there are other religions out there, but that's what they are. They are religions. They are man-made. But Christianity is founded upon a Savior who died, was buried, and rose again. And because he rose again, when we put our faith and trust in him, the Bible says, then that we, if you would, we go from death to life. We go from light, or we go from darkness to light. There is a glorious transformation that takes place. I could go on about many things that change when we believe, but let me share with you at least two. One, fear is replaced with peace. We are living in a time in which people are fearful. And I can understand that. I would be lying to you if I didn't have some element of fear. We all have a little bit of that in us, but some are really full of fear. They kind of want to dodge people and, like, you know, look at them like, remember that word cooties? Like, oh, you got the cooties. And you don't want to be around people. You don't want to, like, stay not just 6 feet, stay 20 feet away from me. You know, just really stay far away from that. That's how some people are. And I get it, but there is really a greater fear, though, that sometimes people possess. And that is the fear of dying. The Bible teaches us, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, I don't say this in a braggadocio way. I do not fear dying. Again, I don't know what it will be like, but I do know I do not fear it. So why would you say that? Because 50 years ago in my life, there was a decision that I made that made all the difference in my life, where I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And I know that I know, based upon the authority of the Word of God, that if I die, that I would be in the presence of the Lord. So I don't fear death. Because I know when I draw my last breath here that I will be in the presence of the Lord. About 4 years ago, it was 4 years ago, I went through open heart surgery. Now, that's not like just a walk in the park. Thankful that technology definitely has advanced, but when my doctor told me that I was going to have open heart surgery, I had some fear. I did. It wasn't the fear of dying, but I will tell you two things that went into my mind. Well, if I die on that operating table, I know where I'm going to be. I'll be with the Lord. But on the human side of things, I looked at it this way. But Lord, if you allow me, I still have work to do. And I want to be with my family. I still want to be with my friends, if you'll allow that. And that is obviously exactly what God allowed. And again, so when that God had given me a special passage from the book of Psalms that just calmed my heart, I didn't have fear, but I had a peace. A peace that really started for me, as I said, 50 years ago. When the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, do you have peace with God today? You see, you can't have the peace of God in your life until you are at peace with God. Do you have that peace? So when you believe, the Lord replaces fear with peace. And when you believe, you're able to have hope in the present and for the future. Listen to a couple of Bible passages. 1 Timothy 1:1 says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So you can have hope in the present and also hope that looks toward the future. Now, do you have these two? Do you have peace and do you have hope? Now, listen carefully. How can you have peace and hope? Even in the midst of this worldwide pandemic, how can you have peace and hope? How can you be at peace with God and then from that have hope? There was a jailer in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31 who had asked Paul and Silas this question, men or sirs, what must I do to be saved? What a great question. So let me answer that for you. One, first realize that God loves you. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Realize that God loves you more than you even know. On Good Friday, across the world was able to be given a picture of how much God loves the world. When you go back in time and you think about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he went through, that is one of the greatest expressions of God's love known to man. In fact, Jesus in his own words said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And God gave his very Son to die in your place. Secondly, realize that everyone is a sinner. Romans 3 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I know it's real tempting for man to say, well, I'm doing the best that I can. I do go to church when the doors are open, and I'm trying to do the best that I can to live out the Christian life. But the Bible says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is not through our works, but salvation is acknowledging, yes, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. That's what I had to acknowledge over 50 years ago. I had to acknowledge that I was lost without Christ, that I needed Jesus Christ as my Savior, that I was dead in my trespasses and in sins, that I had, if you would, I had broken the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and so forth. I could not keep those Ten Commandments, but they revealed to me that I was lost. But it also revealed to me that I needed a Savior. So then you need to realize, thirdly, that there is a price for sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God wants to give you a gift today. It's free, by the way. You don't have to earn it. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. He gave us all on the cross. And he cried out those great words, it is finished. It is done. It's finished. A way of salvation has been made possible. You see, with Christianity, there is one word that you could put over Christianity, and it would be the word done. In religion, it's do, do, do. I got to do this. I got to be baptized. I got to do this and so forth. And no, Christianity is all about realizing that I got to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Romans 6:23, again, for the wages of sin is death. What we earn because of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The fourth place, realize that Jesus died and rose again. Romans 5 and verse number 8 says this, but God commendeth, that means shown forth, his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners. See, God's always about offering hope to man. Always about offering hope. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So you realize that Jesus died and rose again. And you stop trying it on yourself and trying to save yourself, and you put all of your faith and trust in him. If you've ever watched the lifeguard out at the beach and somebody's drowning, what the lifeguard will do is that they will swim out and they do not immediately grab on to the person. They are taught to tread water while the individual is just flailing around until finally they run out of energy and collapse and start to go under. Then it's real simple for the lifeguard. All he or she has to do is go over and put their arm on their shoulder and swim back to the shore. Because you see, one of the things that they teach you as a lifeguard is this. You can't save anybody until they stop trying to save themselves. And man is so tempted to believe the lie of the devil, which is this. Just try it on your own. Live the best that you can. Just, you know, try it yourself. And I could never be saved, and you can never be saved until you stop trying it yourself and put all your faith and all of your trust in Jesus. Let me tell you something. When I got saved 50 years ago, it was all by faith. I didn't see Jesus. I heard my pastor preach a message that it was so clear to me what my need was, even as a 9-year-old boy, and that day I put all my faith, all my trust in him. It's just like me going over here and sitting down on this chair. You didn't see me just pick up this chair or look under the chair, make sure it was going to hold me up. I just took it by faith that it was going to hold me up. And likewise with Jesus, I have never seen him. One day, praise God, I will. But until that day, I take God's word and believe it. And the Bible teaches us that when we put our faith and trust in him, he will do his part. Listen to what the Bible says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Not might be or hope to be. I've asked this question hundreds of times since I have been saved, and that is this: if you die today, do you know that you would go to heaven? And I get all kinds of answers, but the most common one is this: no one can know that for sure. If you believe the Bible to be the word of God, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is your Savior. But what's important to believe about him? That he died, yes. That he was buried, yes. But that he rose again. That Jesus Christ is a risen, living Savior. And as he made a difference in my life, he too can make a difference in your life. That you too can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to save you right now. I can't think of any better decision to make right now in your life than that decision. We all make decisions daily. But the most important decision in life is, what will I do with Jesus? I wish I could make the decision for you, but I cannot. I was not forced, and I cannot force you. And if I could make it, I would make it for you, but I can't. But today, won't you believe on Jesus? Won't you receive him as your Savior? And I'm going to tell you something. You will never regret putting your faith and trust in Jesus. That doesn't mean when you do that, that all your problems go away. It doesn't mean that from this day on, it's just nothing but happy, happy, happy. But I'm going to tell you, it does mean this, that you have hope for the present and for the future. It means you can be at peace with God. And it means that when you draw your last breath on this earth, that you will be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ because he saved you. I tell the church family often, it's the most important decision you'll ever make. When that jailer asked that question, what must I do to be saved? Paul answered, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Today, you can believe. Jesus will save you right now. He lives, and because he lives, he can make a difference in your life. It may be today that you are saved. You've already got that decision nailed down. Praise the Lord. But I want to ask you this. Are you close to God, or have you fallen away in your relationship with him, in your walk with him? Does God have anything to say to you on this Easter day? And the answer is yes. Listen to what he says. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. What's he saying? He's saying, I want you to come back home. He's saying, I want you to draw back into fellowship with me. I want you to enjoy the times in the Word of God. I want you to enjoy times in prayer again like you once did. You see, sometimes in our life we feel like, man, I've gone so far away from God, I don't know how to come back. But may I say that God is more than willing and able to meet you today at your very point of need, and you can draw near to him because the living Savior cares for you. And he wants you to just enjoy daily fellowship and live for him in these days. These, yes, are difficult days. We don't know, none of us know, when this will pass. But we can have a hope in the midst of these trying times, that we can have a hope and a peace no matter how long it takes, that my soul is anchored in Jesus Christ, and this virus cannot take that away from us. We are anchored in him. We have a hope in him. So today, if you don't know Jesus, believe on him. Cry out today and ask him, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Come into my life and save me right now. I believe that Jesus died and rose again. Come into my life. And again, you're taking God at his word that he'll do just that. Today, won't you believe? Won't you trust him? Won't you pin all your faith and hope in the one that can change your life forever? There is life beyond this life. Either with the Lord in heaven, because you've trusted him now as Savior, or there will be a place called hell for those that do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. And today, God does not want you to go there. He's provided a way, but he doesn't force it on you. Today he makes the way possible. Will you believe and receive? Right where you are, won't you pray this? Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died and rose again. Come into my life and save me right now. If you just prayed and asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and to be your Savior, then may I say that's the best decision you've ever made. And today, if you have made that decision, we want to help you. And one of the ways that we could help you is if you would go to calvaryofgains.com, calvaryofgains.com, and you'll find a comment tab there. Please fill out that comment form and let us know that you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And we will send you some material to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because we don't want you just to be saved. That's great. That's the greatest decision. But we want to help you grow in that relationship with Jesus Christ. So please reach out to us. Again, that's calvaryofgains.com. And if you have some prayer requests, please go to that site as well and go to that contact form. We'll love to pray with you and spend time just taking your name and your needs before the Lord. I can't think of a better thing that we can do for each other during this time than to pray for each other. And so today, won't you reach out to us? We'd love to help you. Want to encourage you now to be back with us. I don't know what your plans are for the rest of the day, but we will be back on tonight at 6 o'clock, and I'll be preaching another resurrection message. In fact, it's entitled, Because He Lives. There's a song that says, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. And it's a message of hope. And I want to encourage you to tune back in tonight at 6 o'clock. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I thank you so much today for the Lord Jesus Christ, that He lives. He lives. You ask me how. I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Thank you that Jesus Christ is a risen, living Savior. And Father, for those today who have listened all the way through and do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, how I trust that you have touched their heart and they have come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. And for those who possibly have been away from you in their relationship, that they have used this opportunity to draw near to you and to just come back into sweet fellowship with you. Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how it makes a difference, not only today, but tomorrow and for the rest of our life, that because He lives, we shall live also. Thank you for that blessed hope. In Jesus' name. Amen.